Welcome to Soma, where we believe that life is better together. We exist so that you can know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Join us as we hear from Pastor Michael Strickland.
Well, hey, welcome everybody. Thanks for joining us today for church at home. It's a big day for us here at Soma because it's our birthday. I know a lot of people will celebrate anniversaries at churches, but I kind of like the birthday. I think birthday is more fun, right? So in the absence of having like a studio or an audience with me, here's a clip of people dancing. Enjoy this, right? Or here's what it's like to celebrate at a ball game. You guys remember ball games, right? Let's make some noise. Here's a clip of a standing ovation. Yeah, that's right, that's right. We're 2 years old. God is good, right? We're still here. So over the past 2 years, man, we've seen some amazing things. And today we get an opportunity to just stop and celebrate God's faithfulness over 2 years. So I want to say this for all of our dream team. Everyone who has given, everyone who served, everyone who's held doors or poured coffee, ushered people, who set up, tear down, parked cars, people who've served our families and our kids, discipled kids, people who've created an environment in our production team, you've led worship, just a massive thank you for myself and our whole team. I know you're not doing it for me. I know you're doing it because of what Jesus has done in your life, but I just want to say thank you. And so here's the thing, as amazing as the past 2 years have been, here's my claim on this Sunday, right? This anniversary, this birthday Sunday, celebrating 2 years, is that the best is yet to come. I'm full of expectation for all that God has in store. More people coming to know God, find freedom, discovering their purpose and making a difference here in Hickory and around the world. More people coming to experience the uncommon unity that we all find in Jesus. But here's the thing, if I'm being honest, this entire season, since the middle of March, has made it difficult for me as a leader in the church to be grateful. I've been more focused on what we can't do as a church rather than on what we can do. I've been more focused on the limitations of this season rather than the opportunities in this season. I've been more focused on what we don't have, right? You sit around, you watch all these videos of all these massive churches, what we don't have yet as a church rather than what we do have. And I'm going to be honest, man. I'm sorry. I am. It's true of church. It's true of work. It's true of relationships. It's true of resources, and the list goes on and on. We can sit around and think about what we don't have rather than what we do. And sometimes we can focus on the negative rather than all the amazing things that are going on right in front of us, right? We can focus on what's wrong with our situation. And a lot of us can find anything to complain about. By nature, I'd say too, that for me personally, I'm pretty focused on things, trying to make things better. So as a result, like I'm always trying to move the dial, always trying to grow, get better and that kind of thing. So as a result, a lot of times I struggle with contentment. I'm not the most grateful, but it's always I'm wanting more. I want better. I want faster. And honestly, that mindset keeps me from being content a lot of the time, from enjoying what God's already done in my life, what he's already given me. And I'm assuming I'm not the only one struggling with that. So today, to celebrate 2 years of Soma, we're just going to stop and we're just going to say thanks. We're just going to express gratitude to God and we're going to grow in the gift of gratitude. We're going to talk biblically what it looks like for me and you in this season to be more grateful for what he's given us. So gratitude is that value that makes us all more generous. It's the value that gives way to other values. It makes us more encouraging. It makes us better stewards when we're grateful. And the tragedy is that many of us, we miss out on gratitude. Many of us, we miss out on the moment, right? So we're so focused on what hasn't happened yet, we're missing the moment right there with us. So instead of learning to appreciate all the amazing things in our lives, we sit around and we focus on what we don't have. And so to kind of help us lead into this idea of gratitude, there's a great passage that sets us up in Luke chapter 17. And Jesus, he's traveling and he engages 10 lepers, 10 people who are sick. And it says this in verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance. And they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And so here they are. There's 10 of them. And so they're crying out to Jesus, and they're crying out from just like the real depths of their soul, right? Leviticus 13 tells us about all the rules, all the issues that people who had leprosy, all the hoops that they had to jump through on top of being sick. So they had to, for example, they had to tear their clothes so that people could see from a distance that they had had leprosy. So they're walking around with torn clothes. They had to cover their mouths, right, so they wouldn't infect other people. They were not allowed to keep their hair up, like keep their hair fixed as a way of qualifying themselves when they walked into a public space. If you had messy hair, I guess it was just assumed that you had, not exactly sure of the details on that one, but you couldn't keep your hair up, right? But they also had to announce when they were unclean, which is what we see in this passage. They stand at a distance from Jesus and they're yelling to Jesus because they know they're ceremonially unclean. They're unclean. And so they literally walk around and yell unclean when they walk into a space with other people. And so a leper would have all this pressure and all this social rejection on top of the physical pain that they were feeling, right? The physical and really the emotional pain as well. And so here comes Jesus, the hope of salvation, the hope of their healing, and word has spread about who he is and what he does, right? They know he has the power to heal. And so they're crying out, and they're big time. They desire healing. They want it, right? Free us from this life of pain. And in verse 14, it tells us this. When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. As they obeyed what Christ asked them to do, they were cleansed. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back. One of the 10 came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? And so here in this situation with Jesus, lives are being transformed. People are going from no hope of returning to a life that they once knew, right? For years have been sick, walking around with this ailment, to being restored. And yet only one of them, a foreigner, the Samaritan, comes back to express thanks to Jesus for his healing. And I want, for me in my own life, I want to be that one. And I want our church family to be that one. I want the heart of gratitude for what God has done in our lives. Gratitude for what's already taken place. And so I think there's 3 things that I want to hit this week. It's a super simple message. 3 statements that I think will help us in expressing thanks to God and being content and just living in a space of gratitude. The first one is this, is that everything good comes from God. Everything good in your life that you experience, all the way down to the small things, all that's grace in your life. James 1:17 puts it this way, every good and perfect gift is from above. So if you got something great in your life that you love and you enjoy, it's from above. It's a good thing, it's from God. And you may say, man, I worked for this. I worked hard for this house that I live in, this car that I drive, or my toys, or my clothes, or whatever. I earned this. But you've got to understand that everything in your life, everywhere you experience success, every time you succeed, you're succeeding with what God has given you. And so biblically, we see this in every scripture, every passage of scripture as well. I'm going to give you some examples of all through the places in scripture where you see people they're succeeding because of what God's given them. So God gave Noah a plan for the ark. It's a word specifically to Noah. He gives him the ability to build it. He gives him the time. He gives him the talent to do so. It saved his family, and it makes a way for the rest of us. So God gave the Israelites manna, literally bread from heaven. It's falling from the sky in the morning, and then he gives them fire by night. God gives David, in the scripture, he gives David a stone to kill Goliath. And he gives him true aim. And he gives him all this experience as a shepherd in a field. And he gives him a sling. And so God gives him every bit of that. God gave Jonah, he gives him a fish, right? Even some of the things that we think aren't blessings end up being some of the greatest blessings in our lives. And so God gives Jonah this fish and he vomits him up on dry land. God gives a young teenage girl, Mary, the faith to obey and the confidence to give birth and to raise Jesus. God gives the wise men a star. God gives the shepherds a multitude of angels. And God gives me and you and the rest of humanity, he gives the world the Prince of Peace, gives us the Lamb of God, gives us our Savior. God gives us, Scripture tells us he gives us a peace that passes understanding. He exchanges worry and fear and anxiety for peace. God gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to do things we never could do on our own. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. right? Gives us the gift of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Those aren't natural things. Those are godly things. Those are gifts. God gives us spiritual gifts, things that when you came to faith in Christ, all of a sudden you have a passion and a gifting for. He gives us his word to encourage and remind us of his love and his promises. He gives us time. He gives you people. He gives you health. He gives you life. Think about all the amazing relationships in your life. He gives you resources. He gives you a mind. He gives you passions. He gives you a purpose and a call on your life that's unique to you. Every good gift that you have comes from him. And so when we begin to embrace that, everything awesome in your life and in my life, when we see it as a gift from God, it changes us from an attitude of entitlement to an attitude of gratitude. Like when my kids get a gift from me, right, and they realize the source, there isn't a gift, there isn't a sense of entitlement. They're like, thank you for giving me this thing that I didn't have and now I have it, right? If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. A moving from entitlement to a moving of gratitude is where we need to be. So every good thing that I have and that you have, it comes from God. And so the second truth about gratitude is this: all you have is all you need. Here's what I mean by that. It means that you can't let what you want rob you from what you already have. So many of us in life, we want what's next, right? We want what we don't have instead of appreciating what we do have. And it's always a moving target. It doesn't matter how much of anything that you have, you always want more. So it doesn't matter who you are either. Here's what King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 6, verse 9. He puts it this way. He said, better what the eye sees than the roaring of the appetite, right? In the NIV, he puts it this way. He says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the appetite. This also is vanity and a striving after the wind. So better what the eye sees. In other words, better is your reality. Better what's in front of you rather than what's not. And this appetite for what hasn't happened yet or what you don't have, right? The thing that you're longing for. So it's better to embrace what God's given you than just to sit around and think about all the things that you don't have. Gratitude turns whatever we have into enough. It makes you appreciate what you've been given. So you invest in what you've been given, right? Time and energy and passions around the things that you've already been given. It's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are full of joy, who are happy. So better is what is before me, King Solomon says. Don't let what you want rob you of what you already have. And most of us have everything that we could possibly want anyway, right? You probably have, like myself and other people, you have a closet full of clothes, but you only wear like 4 things out of all the things in your closet, right? You have cable, or if we're being honest, not very many people have cable anymore, but you have like 3 different streaming devices. You know, you got Disney Plus or Netflix or Amazon or whatever. But there's nothing to watch. Like you sit around, you're like, there's nothing to watch, right? You got a fridge full of food, but there's nothing to eat, right? Got all the resources to get out of the house and ride around, go on a trip, go places with your family, do things around the house, things that we can be doing around the house, but there's nothing to do. And so, man, just a reminder to all of us that we live in just the most affluent time and space in all of history. You have air conditioning. More than likely, you got air conditioning, unless it broke. You know what I mean? You have computers in your hands that give you directions on command. You can just order stuff with the click of a button. You have drive-throughs, right, where you can pre-purchase a meal on an app. And you can also have that junk delivered to your door. You have the good ice from Chick-fil-A. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching now. You have airplanes and cars and running water in our homes. Thank God for running water. Like, we live in an era where the toilet is available, right? There's no outhouse. Probably for 99.9% of the people who end up seeing this, you got a toilet in your home. Also, now that people have gone back to work and school, we have toilet paper available again, you know? You got a sunrise every day. You got a sunset every day, whether or not we're watching it. You have friends and family who love you and want to help you. You upgrade things that are working perfectly well for things that work a little bit better, right? You've traveled, even if it's regionally, you've traveled. You've gotten people in your life who are all in and want to see you experience real joy. They're willing to do whatever it takes to get you there. That could be parents, it could be a spouse, it could be close friends, whatever. You have amazing things that God already has given you, but you're so focused on what you don't have, it robs you from what you do have. And so we got to shift our mindset, right? And so the better that we take care of what we've been given, the greater the return on what's already been entrusted to us, right? Whether it's people or money or influence, it's crazy how that works. If I actually stop and express gratitude, I'm more likely to better steward what God's already given me, and then it produces more. Like, I've got more fruit in those areas. There's nothing more sobering than spending time with, like, if you've ever done any international travel, any missions trips, right? Spending time with other believers from another country who live in poverty. And it's like they're so full of joy, even in their poverty. They have so little by our standards, and yet they have so much, right? And we have so much, and yet it seems like we have so little. We don't get very much out of it. Gratitude helps you to see that all you have is all you need, and that God wants to give you what you need in order to do all the things He's called you to do, all the things He wants to do in and through you. They're already there. And a lot of times they're in the form of people, okay? So here's the way the Apostle Paul puts it. I love this passage of scripture. Paul says, "For I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances," right? I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And he's being for real when he's talking about needs. Like, I know what it is to be impoverished. I know what it is to be beaten, be in prison, be at the end of my rope, be at the end of my life almost. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, Paul says, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Then he says this, verse 13, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And so the Apostle Paul, he gets to a place mentally where Christ is all he had. He literally, physically, he's at a place, emotionally, he's at a place where literally Christ is all he has. And then he realizes, man, that's all I really needed. Everything else is icing. Everything else is a bonus. All he had was all he needed. And Paul says, in seasons of plenty and in seasons of want, he said, it doesn't matter. And you can experience contentment in both of those seasons. Some of you are in a season of plenty. Some of you may be in a season of want, but you can be grateful, and your gratitude for what you've been given, it makes you appreciate the things God's given you even more. The people and the time and the moments, all the things, gratitude, it changes the game. So every good gift comes from God. All we have is all we need. And the final point is that you and I, we get to turn every gift into praise. We get to take all the amazing things that God's done in our lives and flip that back into praise. You and I have a choice between looking at the blessings in our lives and viewing them with two different vantage points. We can view them with pride, or we can view them with praise. We look at them. Some of us, sometimes we're a little bit prideful. We look at our lives and we go, man, I'm awesome, right? Like, I deserve that. You know, as a matter of fact, I deserve even more than that. Like, I'm pretty amazing. Or we can just say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for the way that you've blessed my life. And I love the way that King David puts it in one of the Psalms. He says, "I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you." And so David says, listen, I'm going to turn every blessing back into praise. And so the question is, like, what's some application? How do we do that? How do we turn every blessing back into praise? What are some things that we can do? I think mentally we have to shift the way that we think. So I want you to stop and think about all the things you love, people that you love, right? People who are closest to you. Think about your health. Think about your best friend. Think about your work. Think about the things that you can do that you're great at that have been affirmed in your life and you love those things. And now just pretend that you lose it. Pretend that you get a phone call and you're no longer healthy. Pretend you get a phone call and you've lost a loved one. Pretend you get a phone call and you just lost your job. And I know it's a sobering, like, conversation, and there's a lot of people out there, you've had this phone call recently even, right? But pretend like you lost the things that matter most to you. And then pretend like you get it back. You ever lost something and then you found it? There's just a joy whenever you find that thing. There's an appreciation for that thing when you find it that you never had before you lost it, right? If you've been out, you've gone somewhere with the kids, maybe you're traveling with the kids, or you're in a department store, you're at the mall or something like that, and the kid ran away from you, like hid in the rack of clothes. It's always a thing, like for us. So the kid hides in a rack of clothes and you're like stressed out. You're like, where's my child? I'm a terrible parent. I've lost my child, this kind of thing. But when you see the kid, like, what was a sunken heart and like, oh man, this is the worst day ever. All of a sudden there's like a real joy and excitement, and you're just like, thank God, like I've got my kid. So you thank God for what you already have in a way that maybe you didn't before. And it's true of people, and it's true of your job, and it's true of your health, and it's true of every area of your life. So just think about losing it, and you're going to appreciate things when you realize, man, at any given time, I could lose this. And so David, he puts it this way in Psalm 103. I love the way he says it. He says, beginning with verse 2, he says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he's done for me. God, help me to remember all the amazing things you've done in my life. He forgives all my sins." Notice he doesn't start with stuff. He starts here. "He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things." And so Psalm 103, I want that same prayer to be my prayer, right? I want to extend gratitude first. I don't want to ever forget the blessings that God has given me. I want to be the type of leader that I'm grateful, right? And then that leads me to a place of happiness, to a place of joy, because I've expressed gratitude first, because God provides for me. Every good gift comes from him, and I'm not going to let what I want rob me of what I already have. And I'm going to take every gift, every blessing that he gives, and I'm going to make sure that I turn it back into praise. And I'm not going to let it be pride in my life, but I'm going to let it be praise, because I realize how undeserving I am of all the amazing things that he's done in my life. Just like David says in Psalm 103, all the things that he's done in my life, the fact that he's forgiven me, the fact that he's restored me, the fact that he's set my life on the path, the fact that he's given me my family, and he's given me time, and he's given me passions, and he's given me talents. He's done the same thing for you. If you have a blessing in your life, every good gift comes from above. Everything great in your life comes from above. And so let's be a people that express gratitude. So I just want to say thank you so much. I want to say for all of you who pour into the life and the dream that is our church, Soma, I want to say thank you. Thank you for giving. Thank you for investing. Thank you for praying more than anything. Thank you for praying and believing with me that God's going to do something amazing in and through our community. He's going to use you and me to be a part of that. He's going to grow his kingdom. He's going to grow his church. And I believe that the way that we get there, one of the ways that we get there, is by being grateful for what he's already given us. And it's true on Sundays, but it's true Monday through Saturday. God, give us a heart of gratitude so that we can love and serve people better. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come together as your church. Thank you for breath in my lungs. Thank you for the sunrise this morning, for the drive in. God, thank you for a hot cup of coffee. Thank you for my friends who I get to co-labor. I get to kind of be on mission with people who are serving, people who are doing, just setting the table, the dream team every single week who come, the people who are helping us to build out all that we're doing online in this season to help serve church family who aren't back yet. God, thank you for all the resources and just the vision and just an excitement, a level of excitement in my own life for where it is that you're taking us as a church. I'm grateful for the past 2 years, so grateful for the amount of people who've come to faith in Christ and been baptized and have jumped into communities and groups here at Soma, who've joined the Dream Team, who are helping us build out your vision of a church, driving towards uncommon unity that looks like nothing any of us could have dreamed up. It's exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. And so I pray you continue to lead us to that place. And God, I pray you give us a heart of gratitude. For those of us who are struggling in this season with contentment, for those of us who are struggling in this season, like myself some, where we're just worried and we're stressed out. And we're also just, we're more mindful of what we don't have in this season, what's been taken away, what we can't do in this season, than we are of all the amazing things that are going on around us. And so help us to not see it as an inconvenience, but as an opportunity to redirect and shift our focus and to trust you. You love us more than we love ourselves. God, you want more for our lives than we want for ourselves. And for the person who's watching this, who's never placed their faith or their trust in Jesus, here's my ask, is that you would go all in today. Is that you would express gratitude towards the greatest thing that's ever been done for you, which is Jesus came and he laid down his life so that you could have life and you could have a right relationship with God. And so if you're seeing Jesus for who he is today and you say, "Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want to go all in. I want to make you Savior and Lord of my life." Just pray this prayer. "Jesus, I'm sorry for going my own selfish path, for making it about myself, for making it more about pride. And in this moment, I'm shifting the way that I approach life. I'm making it about praise. It's no longer about me and my agenda and what I've done, but more about what you want to do in and through me. And so I'm grateful for what you've given me. And I'm grateful for this life, and I'm grateful for salvation and forgiveness and the grace that you extend on the cross. And in your resurrection, you offer new life and joy and peace and purpose. And so Jesus, I'm giving you my life. So take my life and use me. Use me to help love and serve other people. Use me to help reach other people with the same message that you love them and you're for them. And God, I pray for our church in this season that you would just continue to do what you've done for the past 2 years, that you would grow it, that you would bring the right people to build your church, to build your cause, your kingdom, that you would grow it both in terms of the broad reach that you want for our church, but also really the depth, God, that we would be more like you, that we would be better followers of you, Jesus. We look more like you to the people we come into contact with. So give us the grace to do it, and give us the dream, and establish in us just a love both for you and a love for people. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.